If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Woods, I think you're right when I asked earlier about the catching situation for the Padres, especially when Luis Camposano returns. I think he's eligible to come off the injured list, I think, on Monday. So he'll be out for the Boston series, and I'd imagine we'll see Higashioka at least two of those games. Caught all three of the games against the Washington Nationals, including the day game after the night game yesterday, which opened my eyes a little bit. I suggested that that's possible because, you know, as a backup, he hasn't been overly used earlier in the season. But this is the time to ride the hot hand. He's not going to stay this hot all year long.
No.
Kyle Higashioka has been in the league long enough. He's not discovered something magical and all of a sudden is going to be an all-star catcher going forward. He's riding a hot streak. You hope it lasts as long as possible. Jesse and Tony talked about a very small adjustment he made, closing his front foot just a little bit, because early in the season he felt like he hit a bunch of balls down the line that hooked foul, that would have been home runs. I remember, felt like every other game, Kyle was hitting, he was going over four when he did get a chance to start, but at least once during the game, he ripped one down the line that went about 6 feet foul and would have been a home run. And he said, just slightly close the stance a little bit, and now those same line drives that are 103, 104 miles an hour off the bat are staying fair and heading right to the Western Metal Supply Company.
Third deck of the Western Metal Supply Company. That's big boy.
I like the one that went into the suite, the two-run shot. Went right into the door and disappeared. The guy went in and pulled it out of the buffet or wherever it ended up.
Out of the nachos, as Mud said.
Onto one of the sofas in there and then pulled it out and showed everybody. But right now, he's hot. You got to ride the hot hand. The Padres will need Luis Camposano quite a bit over the rest of the season. Not just to back up Kyle Higashioka, but probably as the starter at some point. Remember, the first month of the year, Luis was doing a nice job.
He was, but
that has not held, unfortunately.
So it's interesting, too, the timing of all of this. We have Eno Saris coming on at 8:35 this morning. And I'm reminded of an early conversation that Eno Saris had with Luis Camposano, who was getting extremely lucky, hitting the ball about 69 miles an hour off the bat, and they were falling. And Eno Saris literally had the conversation with Camposano like, hey, man, like, you're not really barreling the ball, you're getting some knocks, and Camposano saying to him, I don't care how hard I hit it, as long as they fall. And I like that mentality, but I also, you kind of saw it start to go away. Those flares don't stay flares forever. They turn into very easy weak outs. And I don't know, the weird adjustment that Luis Camposano made with the stance and everything else that all of us amateur hitting coaches want to talk about on Twitter was not leading to many barrels at all. And then you take the defensive part of his game. He was stealing a lot of strikes early. In fact, he was, in the first 3 weeks, a month of the season, was literally one of the best pitch stealers, strike stealers in baseball. That went off the cliff. It all went away. All of it. The hitting luck, the defensive prowess.
You've called up his StatCast sliders.
I don't.
And he is in some of the lowest percentiles in baseball. In almost every defensive metric, unfortunately.
And offensive. I mean, it's across the board. Like, man, this is pretty dire for Luis Camposano. And again, I know that people, the only thing he's doing well, Ben, is he's not striking out a ton. His K rate is 95, so it's deep, deep in the red. His whiff rate 78, he doesn't swing and miss a bunch. But, man, you want to talk about barrels, not many at all. Sweet spot, not much at all. Doesn't walk a ton. And then you look at his defensive stuff, and it's horrible. It's horrible. So it's all, right in the first 10. Basically.
Single digits,
yeah.
In the blue.
It's really, really bad. So,
Higashioka, meanwhile, has, if anything, just continued to improve this season defensively, threw out a ton of runners on this homestand.
It was fantastic.
He was a weapon behind home plate. Multiple guys thrown out at second base. Not 100%, but no catcher is. I mean, if you're getting a quarter of guys, you're doing well. And he was doing better than that by a wide margin on this last homestand. So, Yeah, offensively, you're not going to keep it up, but that defensive equation should keep Kyle Higashioka in the lineup more regularly for the rest of the year, even when both guys are healthy. Correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, the guy's got Kyle Higashioka's got a 762 OPS. Kyle Higashioka right now. He's got eight bombs. His average is not great at all, but his slugging is 522, and again, his OPS is 762, which is a career high for him. Whatever he's doing, he's got to keep doing. We need him. But Campisano, when he comes back, I do think that there's a conversation to be had about who's going to get the most. Because you remember, man, Campy, I know he's been banged up before, he's been injured, but you got to remember when Gary Sanchez got here last year, it was like, all right, you're the guy now, because Gary found a power stroke and, you know, wasn't hitting for average or anything like that. But yeah, man, at some point he's got to kind of take that job back.
So in the last three seasons, as the primary backup for the Yankees, Kyle Higashioka had exactly 10 home runs in each of those three seasons. Would have signed up for that 3 weeks ago going, I hope he gets anywhere near to 10. Now he's already at 8 with 7 in the month of June. Now I'm going, if he only gets to 10, something's gone wrong in the second half of the season. And I looked at his at-bats and I wondered, well, are they going to wear him out for a guy that has not started? That can be a worry. A guy who doesn't start often and all of a sudden he's playing every day. Are you going to, run out of gas? And he's had, in the last 3 years, 193, 229, 242 at-bats for the Yankees. Only has 92 so far this year, even with the recent, extra play with Campusano on the injured list. So, he's on pace for the fewer at-bats than he's had in any of the last 3 years. So you can up his usage in the second half without worrying too much about, wearing him out in the second half of the season. Go ahead. Let's see more Kyle Higashioka going forward.
I mean, it got to the point people were upset the other night when Schilt pinch hit David Peralta for Kyle Higashioka. That is not something that anyone would have tweeted, back in April or May. Nobody would have said, what is he doing? You got to let Higgy hit. He already hit a bomb this game or whatever, like one of our hottest hitters.
Yeah, if you're looking for a single, though, he has 7 of them all year. He has more home runs than singles this year.
It's insane. It's insane. So, yeah, man, what a perfect addition to the team right now, stepping up. I mean, 6 RBIs yesterday. It's bananas. That's bananas. So it's nice that Slam Diego lives again.
Oh, I wanted to ask you about that. First, though, we need a contestant for Real or Fake. If you want to play our game and try to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas, give us a call right now, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We're about 2-3 minutes away from our game. So that is... So remember back during the pandemic, the original Slam Diego, when the Padres hit grand slams in 4 consecutive games to set a new major league record, and we were broadcasting from the Corona Cave, and after they did it 3 times in a row, you said, if they do it one more time, if they get another grand slam today and make it 4 in a row, you said, I'll do the next show in a diaper.
Yes, wear a diaper.
Wear a diaper and nothing else. And you did.
Wasn't that Hosmer that got me?
It was on the last game.
Guy's always getting me.
So we're halfway there. I mean, what's the number here? Is it 4 again? Is it 5? Do they have 5. To break the record?
Break the record.
So if they hit grand slams in every game at Fenway Park this weekend, you'll show up Monday morning here to our Odyssey Studios, not the Corona Cave.
If that's what you want.
Odyssey Studios in a diaper.
Yeah, if you want it. I'll do a Morgan Wallen haircut, too, which is like my nightmare. I would do that. 5 grand slams in 5 consecutive games. Yeah, I'll wear that for the squad.
Still a long way to go.
Long way to go.
Yeah, I'll get the bases loaded a few times.
Anthony Butcher says nude. Nobody wants to see nude.
Hodge hits one well into deep right field. I thought he got it all. Car rushed. Grand slam home run, San Diego Padres. Where have you heard that before? And this ball game right now belongs to the San Diego Padres by 5-2. It's unbelievable. It's uncanny. It's record-setting.
Tatis on Monday, Myers on Tuesday, Machado a walk-off on Wednesday, and now Eric Hosmer on Thursday. Major League history.
It's insane. Insane. 4 straight games. Slam Diego. It's nice, man. Nice at Slam Diego. Is that 3 this season?
That's 3 this season. Let's see. Jake had one.
And then Bro and Higgy.
Yes.
Is that it?
If not, maybe four. Maybe that was the fourth one.
One or two
more. There might be one more there.
Does Probar have two?
No. Yeah. Yes, yeah, he does. He's got two.
Yeah, we've got
he's
four.
He's got two. That's correct.
Yeah, Pro got one. San Francisco. That's right.
Now, that's remember right. last year, they didn't have one until, what, Gary Sanchez,
yes.
I think?
It was like
late in the season.
Late August or early September or something. Yeah. So now we got four. That's great. Slam Diego lives. It's a real thing.
It's good to have it back.
Yeah, I love Slam Diego so much. Four runs on one swing is pretty elite. All right, I got it in the chat, guys. I know Pro has two. We said it. It's fine.
Profar.
Profar's got two. Yeah. So how many does Profar have, by the way? If you guys could let me know in the chat, that'd
one.
Be great.
Oh, yeah, winning in San Francisco.
Good Lord. So, yeah, well done by the fellas getting that sweep yesterday, the ninth inning notwithstanding. But, yeah, man, I'm excited to see what we can do against the Red Sox and, of course, against Boch's team, the Texas Rangers. How are they right now? Ben, I haven't heard a lot.
Under 500.
Are they? Yeah,
yeah,
not doing well.
But, no, I mean, after a really slow start, they've kind of stabilized a little bit, but not playing well by any stretch of the imagination. All right, you ready for a little real or fake?
I am.
Throwback Thursday. All right, let's get to our game.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods. Yeah, you can go plow through another donut. It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
All right, here's what we're playing for. If you can get four of the seven right on Real or Fake, you are qualified for our grand prize drawing. Tonight, stay at the Fontainebleau Las Vegas. Tickets to either Hootie and the Blowfish or Smashing Pumpkins and a $150 poolside dining credit. Summer room packages and tickets are available now at FontainebleauLasVegas.com. Let's go to Bill. Bill, welcome to Real or Fake. How are you doing this morning?
Really good, Ben. Thank you.
All right. You are a contestant again. You're looking for a four of seven right. We are in the middle of the NBA draft. Yesterday, Woods was testing himself on team logos. What about team nicknames? I have a list of NBA teams dating back to the league's birth in the 1940s. Today on Real or Fake, I'll give you a city and a nickname. You tell me if it was a real team that was once a part of the NBA. Yeah, Woods. Or a fake I've thrown in to fool you. Bill, you ready to play? Woods is your lifeline if you ever want to use it.
Good luck.
Here we go. Round one. The Wichita Braves. Real or fake? Wichita Braves.
What do you
NBA.
Think,
what do I think? Fake.
Okay, we'll say fake.
And fake would be correct. Well, that's easy. 1 point on our way to four and a win. Let's go to round number two. The Tri-Cities Blackhawks. Real or fake?
Oh, geez. So what, do you know where Tri-City is?
I think, is that in, is that, no, that's the Twin Cities. Is it in Iowa?
Quad Cities, I think you're thinking of.
What's the Tri-Cities?
I feel like a lot of places have the Tri-Cities.
Well, let's go real, because they probably combined cities back then.
Why not? Why didn't they combine cities back then?
Real?
Yes. Yeah, a couple of moves later, the Tri-Cities Blackhawks are now the Atlanta Hawks, who had the number one pick in the draft yesterday. Took Zachary Richachet out of France with the number one pick. All right, you are halfway home. All right, let's go to round number three. The Chicago Zephyrs, real or fake NBA team. Bill?
Zephyrs.
That sounds like a good name. Let's say that's real.
Says that's real.
Yeah,
yes, wow,
very
this is
well
an easy game.
What year was this?
These are mostly in the 40s, in the first few years of the NBA.
Yeah, the Zephyrs, see?
Totally settled on their lineup of teams. All right, let's go to round number four for the win. The Rochester Royals. Real or fake, Bill?
I'm pretty sure that one is real.
He's pretty sure. Hmm. I like the confidence. And it is well deserved.
Oh my God.
Rochester Royals, a couple of moves later, are now known as the Sacramento Kings.
Sweeps all
and
around.
That was a sweep. Congratulations, Woo! Bill. Hang on the line.
We haven't had a real or fake sweep in a long time.
No, we usually go to round seven. Let's see if Woods gets the rest of these. We've got the Cincinnati Captains.
Real.
No, fake.
All right.
Indianapolis Olympians.
Fake.
That is real.
All right.
The Pittsburgh Wasps.
Fake.
That is fake.
The Wasps.
It would fit well, though, with the black and gold theme of all of their teams, but that did not...
Are Wasps black and gold?
Yeah, like bees, Wasps, aren't
those
they?
Those are different.
But aren't they still kind of black and gold a little bit?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. Bo calls them wasps. A wasp nest. Dad, there's a wasp nest over there. Oh, is there? Wasps.
I don't know that I can really tell the difference between honeybees and wasps.
Remember,
I
posted that video. He also calls it a whore nest. It's a true story. Whore nest. What is that? What does she have at her house? A whore nest. Oh, okay.
Like the Charlotte whore nest.
What's the address?
I better go take care of that.
What? Let me head over there right now and see what's up with this whore nest at your Gaga's house. A whore nest.
Now, there's the big fat bumblebees.
Yes, those are, I don't know that any bees are actually black and yellow. I think that's just how we draw them.
Really?
I think so.
Just in the...
Maybe. Maybe
just
the bumblebees
in cartoons?
Are. Yeah, I think so.
Those big bumblebees have to be black and yellow, right?
Yeah, the whore nest. Did you watch the draft?
I did.
Was that the Sphere or is that the NHL?
No, that's the NHL. It was at the Barclay Center in Brooklyn.
I wish they would just call it the Barclay Center instead of the Barclay Center. But how was it? Was it good?
It was fine. You know, I think three of the first six picks were from France, guys you don't really know because they didn't play college basketball, so you didn't get to watch them. Just
awesome.
A couple of, you know, videos of, you know, their club teams in France.
Wembanyama went number one last year for France.
Yeah, yep.
I love that France is
wine, cheese, and basketball players.
Apparently, they're breeding them over there right now.
Two UConn players in like the top seven in Castle and Klingon both went early.
No Aztecs in the first round.
No Aztecs or former Aztecs taken.
Not,
one more day today. No one was going to hear their name today.
Right.
If it was going to happen, it was always going to be today. Not yesterday.
Not yesterday.
But it's still
that's
unlikely.
Still a big if.
Is it?
Really big if.
Wow, man. Yeah. Jaden Ledee.
He would be at the end of the second round if anyone gets around
to him. What's he projected at?
I mean, he was
60,
like...
60... What was it? You saw
he
like...
He was like 88 80, on ESPN's yeah. top
And there's only 60
100.
Total picks. So.
If anything, he could catch on as an undrafted signee.
Yeah, he'll sign somewhere.
He'll play professional basketball, whether it's overseas or G League.
All right, we're going to come back. Don't Do This is next to get an update on Jim Schlossnagel.
Hornswoggler.
The head coach now of the Texas Longhorns baseball team.
Story just gets weirder and weirder the longer we go. And
this
then
guy
he
sucks.
Then he does. And then he did Q&A yesterday.
I thought apology. Oh, this is good.
Yeah.
And then I heard it, and I go, no,
that's not how you do it.
That is not how you do it. You'll hear it next on Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
I got a little surprise for you, know what I'm saying?
Don't do this.
Listen, if I've said something bad, I mean, tell me I'm a bad boy. You know, just tell me I'm a bad boy.
Why? Just why?
I get the argument. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm not a moron.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Don't do this.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Like call that the Don't Do This of Don't Do This opens on a throwback Thursday.
100.
Don't Do This brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sorrento Valley. Kraft Taco is some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. Thecrafttaco.com.
You know, it's our show. We could bang that if we wanted to. It's our show. We control it.
True.
Polly likes to throw it in to torture us.
I think so.
Man, tell me I'm a bad boy.
So, weekly, don't do this for us.
Go ahead.
So yesterday on Don't Do This, if you were listening, you heard from former Texas A&M head baseball coach Jim Schlossnagel after his team had just lost in the championship series at the College World Series to Tennessee. A tough moment, but responded... Let's just say, very rudely to a reporter who had the temerity, the gall, as it were, to ask him about rumors that Schlossnagel could be up for the recently vacated Texas head coaching job. Where, by the way, his best friend, Chris Del Conte, is the athletic director at Texas. So, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to put that together. A reporter did ask the question. This was Jim Schlossnick.
Outcome tonight, but with the rumors circulating today about a specific job opening, what do you have to say about your future in Aggieland?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty selfish of you to ask me that question, to be honest with you.
Totally.
But my, I left my family to be the coach at Texas A&M.
You didn't have to.
I took the job at Texas A&M to never take another job again.
Right.
And that hasn't changed in my mind.
In my mind. On paper, it has.
That's unfair to talk about something like that. That'd be like you asking Montgomery if he's going to sign in the draft. But I understand you got to ask the question. But I gave up a big part of my life to come take this job, and I've poured every ounce of my soul in this job, and I've given this job every single ounce I can possibly give it. So write that.
Okay, he took the job the
follow-up question, Montgomery, are you going to be leaving school for the draft? All right, well, if truly he then the next day committed to Texas A&M, like lifetime contract, I'd go.
Win the game.
All right, put your money where your mouth is. Back up your words. The fact that he then the next day took the Texas job, the biggest rival of Texas A&M, after having dressed down the reporter for asking the question, was pretty awful. So he is introduced yesterday as the new head coach at Texas, and I saw the report. He did offer an apology, and I thought, okay, good, good for him. That reporter absolutely deserved one. Then I heard the apology, and I go, all right, this is back, and don't do this again, Jim. Here's Jim Schlossnagel, now member of the Texas Longhorns.
When the game ended, I want to publicly apologize to Richard Zane from Texas Aggs. He's a young reporter. He asked the question. That was an obvious question. I wish I could have answered that better.
You could have.
Do you think so?
But yeah. In the moment, 30 minutes after the last pitch, all I could think about was our players.
You're so.
And I really wasn't in the mood to talk about
my huge offer that I got.
The future. So I apologize for that to Richard.
Okay, so the word but never appeared in that apology, but it was implied several times. When he said he's a young reporter, you're insinuating then perhaps that he doesn't have a lot of credibility, that, you know, a veteran reporter wouldn't have asked that question. So you're basically still insulting him.
He's a kid. He made a mistake.
While you're apologizing.
Yeah, the old backhanded apology. I'm a master at it, by the way. My wife would tell you.
What was the other part that he said? He called him a young reporter.
Yeah, young reporter. But here's the thing. He does the whole bit of, yeah, I just was thinking about my players, man, and what they're going through.
You weren't.
And no, you weren't. You had this thing already wrapped up.
Like, so I pack all the boxes?
So this came out yesterday. They asked him, too. Hey, Mr. Hornswoggle, what did you say to your players? The answer is nothing. And he said, I wish I could have addressed them and had time to talk to them. Everyone astutely pointed out, buddy, you had a bus ride and a flight with your entire team, and you didn't tell anybody.
And Zoom your exists plan. Nowadays,
yeah,
too.
Bro, really. Text messages exist. Anything.
Now.
Hey, y'all, it's your coach. I'm out of here. I love you. Appreciate it. I mean, really.
Maybe the offer never came through until after the game, after he had gotten home, and it all came together in about 2 hours.
That's what they want you to believe.
Now, does he get his family back, or does he have to leave them again?
No, they're coming with me to Austin. I'm telling you, if you had a kid. Now, the other thing, too, yesterday what happened, and I have friends that went to A&M, I have friends that went to Texas. I talked to my Texas buddy yesterday. He's afraid to text our mutual friends that went to A&M because it's so heavy down there, like with message boards, and he did this and they did that. So all of these kids yesterday from A&M, because they don't know who their next coach is going to be, they have no idea. All these kids that committed to him have now entered the portal. Hmm. But you have to enter the portal by July 1st or you're ineligible. So again, they may end up staying at A&M, depending on who the coach is. They may end up following him to Texas.
They got 4 days to figure
out. Texas A&M and Texas are massive rivals. That's that's like transferring from UCLA to USC.
It is. The
Ohio State to Michigan.
It's gnarly.
It's not really done very often.
It's just gnarly. Like, they hate each other. They hate each other. There's no question. And so to have this go down like that, it's always weird to me, too. you know, the day before you're an Aggie and you bleed, and I took this job to only be an Aggie. Literally the next day you're in burnt orange and you're like, hook 'em horns. I mean, I know that's how it works. I know it is. You have to embrace it and dive in fully.
Gross.
But it is gnarly. It's gnarly. So, yeah, that was a really interesting story yesterday. You thought we were, you thought we might be done with Hawk Tua, but apparently we're not. And
you got to give him that Hawk Tua and spit on that thing. You get me?
Yeah. Yeah, I get you. I do. I get you very much.
Hawk Tua.
That's going to stay forever.
Hawk Tua.
Hawk Tua. It made its way, Ben, into the broadcast of a, not a, a minor league game, a major league game between the Atlanta Braves, St. Louis Cardinals. I don't know who's who, but I'm just going to play you this audio. Hawk Tua dropped
the air.
He
just spit on his shoulder. He was sitting there and went to spit, a little humid out, I guess, and mouth getting a little bit dry. Didn't quite clear his arm and just landed right on the shoulder.
Hawk Tua. Yeah.
Let's do it again.
When middle-aged baseball broadcasters are using it, it's completely junk.
Hawk Tua.
That was a very whirlwind 3 days.
She has made
Hawk Tua
$65,000 in by selling Hawk Tua merch so far.
Hawk Tua.
I'm kind of not over it yet because I like her. Caitlin says, please stop. I can't, I mean, I was just reporting the news here. Don't shoot the messenger here. Do this.
All right, do this for a Thursday.
DD Mega Doo-Doo.
And today I will definitely be pulling for golfer Nick Beans in the first round of the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Michigan. You may have seen this story. Monday Q Info, Ryan French was chronicling it. This past Monday, Nick Beans entered the Monday qualifier. They have these before pretty much every regular PGA Tour event where, you know, 100 guys will go out and like three will qualify for the PGA Tour stop that week. You got to shoot usually 6-7 under to even have a chance to make it. But this isn't, he's not like a touring pro golfer. Most of these guys are, you know, Korn Ferry Tour veteran players who are trying to, you know, work their way into another extra event. He's just an employee at Golf Galaxy. He's never competed in any tour sanctioned event before. I mean, he's a good golfer, but
yeah, of course.
Just, you know, and has the day of his life.
Just a guy.
Shoots a 7 under 65 at the qualifier in Washington, Michigan at the Orchards Golf Club. But he got to wait then because, you know, only like whatever, 3 or 4 spots for the entire tournament. And he sits there all day and he's just waiting and decides, I better have a couple. He has a couple beers and has a third beer. And finally, they say,
he's hammered.
Guess what? You have made a playoff. There's a playoff now for the final spot. Goes out and in an 8-hole playoff, he pars every single hole. And on the 8th hole, he qualifies to get in his first PGA Tour event. Three beers in.
That is effing
8 playoff holes after a 7 under 65 and like a 2 or 3 hour wait for the playoff. And this guy has been doing interviews, Pat McAfee show all over the country, talking about, I had to get time off work at Golf Galaxy. I'd ask you to, I mean, I was supposed to work this weekend, but I'm playing at a PGA Tour event.
Hey, I don't think I can give you the day off. Adam, I just qualified. What is the tournament?
The Rocket Mortgage Classic.
I just qualified for the Rocket Mortgage, but we have a round table today here at Golf Galaxy.
You know Thursday's the day the new clubs come in. We've got to stock the shelves. What am I going to do?
So
you can't
good.
Just take the day off. So I will be, he's the last guy off the tee this morning.
Is he really?
2:22 in the afternoon,
oh
the final
God.
Afternoon tee time. I was playing with a couple of other nobodies.
How's he feeling right now?
Just very nervous.
Like,
very nervous.
Terrible.
Hopefully got a couple of sponsors this week. I know they put his Venmo out, and like the first day, people sent him almost $15,000 to help cover the costs of, you know, getting hotel and whatever and going and entering. So good luck.
So cool.
Nick Beans. It's a B-I-E-N-Z.
Nick Beans.
In this weekend's. You know, he makes the cut all of a sudden. Big payday.
Kick some ass.
You know,
there,
so Nick. Good luck to Nick. And maybe you won't have to go back to work at all at Golf Galaxy after this week. And that's Don't and Do This for a Thursday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, now that the Padres have a day off, All-Star break is approaching. Trade deadline's right around the corner, Woods. The rumors continue to persist involving A.J. Preller, but Unlike AJ, hasn't pulled the trigger on anything lately.
Morning, does.
There's something in the works. Are the Padres going to be more active thanks to their 6-1 homestand? We can talk about that coming up next. Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. A welcome sight on the field before yesterday's series and homestand finale against the Washington Nationals.
I thought you were talking about me. You looked right at me and you said, a welcome sight.
Sorry. No, I was referring to Xander Bogaerts in the cage taking a little batting practice before the game. Baseball activity, Woods. Mike Schilt talking that he's taken a couple of steps now in his recovery, and he's moved on to what is generally considered to be, if not the final stage, certainly in the last stages of recovery, and that is getting back in the cage and swinging, especially when it comes to a shoulder injury. He's already been doing, the lower body, keeping up with his work there. So that should speed the time necessary for him to get back into the lineup. I'm not expecting to see him, on this road trip or anything, although he will be traveling with the team. But you can envision a scenario where in the next, maybe by the end of the All-Star break, Xander Bogaerts could be ready to return for the San Diego Padres.
Yes.
Yes. It's good news, right?
Yeah. He plays, goes back to play second.
Okay.
Crony,
let's do this in your head.
Crony goes back to first.
Okay.
Luis Arraez, who Mike Schilt said yesterday has a ouchie.
Ouchie?
He said that before.
What was it, a hand?
Hand ouchie.
Ouchie?
He said that before earlier
in the season.
It's his way
of saying
Jackson Merrill got a little ouchie.
That's right.
Something
it was Jackson Merrill.
Hurt but not injured necessarily? Because there is a difference, right? Or do you not see a difference?
No, I know the
yeah.
the difference.
Like
my kids say ouchie.
Right.
Actually, they don't. They don't even say ouchie.
No one does, actually, except for Mike Schilt at this point.
An ouchie. Yeah, he's got a little ouchie on his hand.
The way I look at it is that it wouldn't be entirely accurate to say he's just getting a day off to rest. There's an ailment that we would like to get him, give him a break from.
But it's not serious.
But it doesn't come to the level of like we need to send him to the doctor to treat anything. It's just it's an ouchie. It's not a
boo-boo.
It's not a strain or a sprain. It's just an ouchie.
A little boo-boo.
Yeah.
All right. So he comes back. He goes back to second base and Jake slides back over to first. Luis Arraez DH, which he does not really like doing, but he does give you a little more flexibility. Your hopes and dreams are that Xander is completely healed. The time away has reset him mentally. Did you see the picture of him and Manny the other day that I think Darnay tweeted out, but he had found it on the Padres photographer had tweeted it out. Manny hit that home run and Xander had him around the head. Like, you see that picture? It's incredible. Like, Xander was like, yeah! Like, those two, you want Xander to come back and be like motivated with how well the team has been playing, how electric it's been. You don't need Xander Bogaerts to come back in and continue to hit, 219 or anything like that with zero pop or really much ability at all to do anything, to do any damage. So you kind of hope that he's fired up and ready to be back and contribute, and
so,
then he can.
But as you said, so if Arraez is DHing, then that knocks either Peralta or Solano out of the lineup?
Which is, you're going to mix and match. Peralta, that may be the end of his tenure when Xander comes back. Somebody's got to go. I think.
Someone needs to bump into the outfield. I mean, Bryce Johnson's not an everyday fielder. And
no.
Tatis is going to be out for, it seems like a while.
Right.
A month seems optimistic.
Very optimistic
at this point.
Yeah.
So maybe someone bumps more into the outfield. Eggy was working in the outfield before the game yesterday, but that's not all right, now plug him in. I mean, he's never played outfield before, so this is not something that you can just say, all right, tomorrow Eggy's your starting right fielder moving forward, at least against left-handers. At some point, maybe you'll see him out there, but that doesn't seem like an immediate solution.
I mean, people are saying
Peralta can be out there, but he's not good.
People are saying move X back to short, Kim utility. I don't see that happening. I mean, Ha-Sung Kim, I know he's had some errors this year. Still your best defensive shortstop, which is why he was moved there. He's hitting a little bit better. He's stealing bags. He's still, you know, he still can be wheels off at times. But look, I
had like three infield singles in the series.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's, but I mean, it's not like those aren't valuable. You know what I mean? Like, he's a valuable player still. I just don't know. I don't know what you do. You can't move Zan. I mean, unless they're going to move
you
Hassan Kim.
You could move Kim. That's... Ray in the chat just says HSK out of here before the deadline. I don't anticipate that. But
nor
it's not,
do I.
It's not out of the realm of possibilities that if you could get something valuable for him, especially a piece that you could both use right now and a prospect, it's not the worst idea. If Xander's coming back and put him right back at short where he wants to be, leave Jake at second, where he's a good defender, and Arise can play first, and he can at least play and not be a DH, and you keep Solano in the lineup, especially against lefties, who's been really good, you know, and keep him in the lineup. That might be a better version of your lineup than benching Solano and having Kim out there every day.
He's beloved.
He's going to be a free agent in 3 months, whether you like it or not.
Sure.
And he's not coming back.
No, I don't think so.
Again, I'm not saying you must trade Ha-Sung Kim, but I'm saying you must listen if anyone's interested.
So, I mean,
you'd be negligent to just out of hand dismiss any offer.
What does that
look
like, though? Because you have to trade him to a contender.
Yeah.
Because team that's out of it's not going to take a guy that's a free agent in
but
3 months.
But every team except for six is a contender right now.
But is a contender going to give up a valuable piece that you would want in return?
Yeah, of course you see what you can get for him. You see what you can get for almost anybody. I mean, you listen on every player. You listen on Jackson Merrill. You don't trade Merrill. But
especially a guy
I don't have a specific
rocking.
Name, but you know, a team comes to you. We'll give you our, you know, a top 10 prospect in our organization, and
who's doing that? Though?
A solid relief pitcher.
Who's
not
doing
like
that for
not
a
like
rental?
A number one, but I mean, like your eighth ranked prospect in your organization,
and a major league ready piece,
and a reliever.
Who's doing that? Who wants a rental?
Somebody needs a shortstop.
Someone needs a shortstop badly.
We need a shortstop.
That's what I'm saying.
Do we? We do.
If Xander Bogaerts is coming back, he does play shortstop. You can put him there.
You can. You just moved him off of it.
Yeah, well, you can move him back.
3 months ago. Oh, my Lord.
You think Xander's going to go ahead, I can't believe they're moving me back to shortstop. He would welcome it.
Of course, everybody on that team would welcome a move back to shortstop.
I still question the move from the beginning.
Of course.
Just because you have one guy that's going to be here for 10 more years and one guy that was going to be here for 10 more months.
Right.
Don't not move him back because you just feel like there'd be egg on your face. That's not a reason not to do something.
Why didn't you just leave him there?
Fine, but... forget about what you did in the past. What makes the most sense for the Padres right now? If Ha-Sung Kim was playing like last year, we wouldn't be discussing this.
At
He'd
all.
Be so valuable,
that we'd be
one of the MVP candidates in the league, and we go, you can't trade him because you're trying to get to the playoffs. He's just not that valuable this year. Maybe that turns around, maybe it doesn't. But either way, he's gone in 2.5-3 months.
So like Roast Master and Chet says, trade him to Oakland. Well, Oakland doesn't need a rental shortstop.
No, I mean... The team that needs him the most
is the one
you don't want to trade him to. But there's
Giants.
There's an American League contender that probably needs a shortstop that you could maybe more palatably send him to.
I'm just telling. I don't trading a guy when he's at his lowest, when you know what he's capable of. You know he's capable of being better. And again, moving an injured Xander Bogaerts back to short. And keeping Luis Arraez, I think it hurts you defensively.
Saves about $4 million that you can use toward a starting pitcher that you acquire at the deadline.
Bro, I'm telling you though, like you guys do know he's beloved in the clubhouse. Beloved, like is that if you're trading a piece like that at the deadline, are you risking, you know, a bunch of BS?
There's risk with every move. There's always risk.
Listen to this guy, Trader Jack over here. All right, I mean. You know, you should have traded him in the offseason. You didn't. Can't do anything about it now.
Well, let's check traffic. A couple more minutes here. There is an area that's getting more and more concerning by the day that the Padres may need to address here. Let's talk about that after traffic here on 97.3 The Fam.
I mean, look, you got him for the rest of the year, okay? And if he would take a utility role. He can spell Manny at third. He can spell Xander at short. He can spell Crony at second. He can play any of the
which is why
positions.
I'm not just giving him a way to shed his salary.
Yeah, but you're also not getting a number three starter and a top 10 prospect for a down season rental.
I'm at least listening.
You're not going to get it.
All right, so some good numbers here from Kevin Acey's newsletter. 4 weeks ago, May 28th, the Padres bullpen had a 3.46 ERA. It's really one of the better bullpens in baseball. Since then, 27 games in 28 days, and over a longer stretch, like 49 and 52? I don't know whether that's overuse, whether it's, you know, some guys who just aren't that good coming back to earth. But since that day, the Padres relievers have a collective 5.52 ERA over the past 27 games. So, four really rough weeks. And it's even worse the last 2 weeks, 6.23 ERA over the past 12 games. Only Yuki Matsui has not allowed a run over that stretch in 4 2/3 innings. Johnny Brito, 6 1/3, 6 earned runs. Tom Cosgrove, 2 2/3, 5 earned runs. Enyel, 4 1/3, 3 earned runs. Estrada, 5 1/3, 7 earned runs. Kolek, 5 1/3, 1 earned run. Nice job, Steven. Adrian Morejon, 6 innings, 4 earned runs. Wandy, 5 innings, 2 earned runs. Suarez, 3 2/3 innings, 2 earned runs. Is the bullpen now the most urgent issue facing the San Diego Padres? It was starting pitching last week. Now is it the bullpen with starting pitching being 1B at this point?
The answer to your question is yes, all of the above. It's all of the above. Holy cow. It's when you put it like that.
Alarming numbers.
Yes, alarming.
But does just the extra days off and the rest
can it
help fix some of these problems without any moves?
Can it circle back? Absolutely. Absolutely. But there's definitely some question marks.
All right, we'll continue this discussion. Eno Saris is going to join us in our next hour. Smart baseball ahead. Don't go away. More Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. A welcome sight on the field before yesterday's series and homestand finale against the Washington Nationals.
I thought you were talking about me. You looked right at me and you said, a welcome sight.
Sorry. No, I was referring to Xander Bogaerts in the cage. Taking a little batting practice before the game. Baseball activity, Woods. Mike Schilt talking that he's taken a couple of steps now in his recovery, and he's moved on to what is generally considered to be, if not the final stage, certainly in the last stages of recovery, and that is getting back in the cage and swinging, especially when it comes to a shoulder injury. He's already been doing the lower body, keeping up with his work there. So that should speed the time necessary for him to get back into the lineup. I'm not expecting to see him, on this road trip or anything, although he will be traveling with the team. But you can envision a scenario where in the next, maybe by the end of the All-Star break, Xander Bogaerts could be ready to return for the San Diego Padres.
Yes.
Yes. It's good news, right?
Yeah. He goes back to play second.
Okay.
Crony,
let's do this in your head.
Crony goes back to first.
Okay.
Luis Arraez, who Mike Schilt said yesterday has a ouchie.
Ouchie?
He said that before.
What was it, a hand?
Hand ouchie.
Ouchie?
He said that before earlier
in the season.
It's his way
of saying
Jackson Merrill got a little ouchie.
That's right.
Something
it was Jackson Merrill.
Hurt but not injured necessarily. Because there is a difference, right? Or do you not see a difference?
No, I know the the difference.
Like
my kids say ouchie.
Right.
Actually, they don't. They don't even say ouchie.
No one does, actually, except for Mike Schilt at this point.
An ouchie. Yeah, he's got a little ouchie on his hand.
The way I look at it is that it wouldn't be entirely accurate to say he's just getting a day off to rest. There's an ailment that we would like to get him, give him a break from.
But it's not serious.
But it doesn't come to the level of like we need to send him to the doctor to treat anything. It's an ouchie. It's not a
boo-boo.
It's not a strain or a sprain. It's just an ouchie.
A little boo-boo.
Yeah.
All right. So he comes back. He goes back to second base and Jake slides back over to first. Luis Arraez DH, which he does not really like doing. But, he does give you a little more flexibility. Your hopes and dreams are that Xander is completely healed. The time away has reset him mentally. Did you see the picture of him and Manny the other day that I think Darnay tweeted out, but he had found it on the Padres photographer had tweeted it out. Manny hit that home run, and Xander had him around the head. Like, you see that picture? It's incredible. Like, Xander was like, yeah! Like, those two, you want Xander to come back and be, like, motivated with how well the team has been playing, how electric it's been. You know, you don't need Xander Bogaerts to come back in and continue to hit, you know, 219 or anything like that with zero pop or really much ability at all to do anything, to do any damage. So you kind of hope that he's fired up and ready to be back and contribute, and so, that he can.
But as you said, so if Arise is DHing, then that knocks either Peralta or Solano out of the lineup?
Which is, you know, listen, you're going to mix and match. Those both of the Peralta, you know, that may be the end of his tenure when Xander comes back. Somebody's got to go. Are they?
Someone needs to bump into the outfield. I mean, Bryce Johnson's not an everyday fielder. And
no.
Tatis is going to be out for what it seems like a while.
Right.
You know, a month seems optimistic.
Very optimistic
at this point.
Yeah.
So maybe someone bumps more into the outfield. Eggy was working in the outfield before the game yesterday, but that's not a, all right, now plug him in. I mean, he's never played outfield before, so this is not something that you can just say, all right, tomorrow Eggy's your starting right fielder moving forward, at least against left-handers. At some point, maybe you'll see him out there, but that doesn't seem like an immediate solution.
I mean, people are saying
Peralta can be out there, but he's not good.
People are saying move X back to short, Kim utility. I don't see that happening. I mean, Ha-Sung Kim, I know he's had some errors this year. Still your best defensive shortstop, which is why he was moved there. He's hitting a little bit better. He's stealing bags. He still can be wheels off at times. But look, I
had like three infield singles in the series.
Yeah, I mean. You know, he's, but I mean, it's not like those aren't valuable. You know what I mean? Like, he's a valuable player still. I just don't know. I don't know what you do. You can't move Xander. I mean, unless they're going to move
Ha-Sung
Kim.
You could move Kim. Ray in the chat just says HSK out of here before the deadline. I don't anticipate that, but
nor do I.
It's not out of the realm of possibilities that if you could get something valuable for him, especially a piece that you could both use right now and a prospect. It's not the worst idea. If Xander's coming back and put him right back at short where he wants to be, leave Jake at second where he's a good defender, and Arise can play first and he can at least play and not be a DH, and you keep Solano in the lineup, especially against lefties, who's been really good, you know, and keep him in the lineup. That might be a better version of your lineup than benching Solano and having Kim out there every day.
He's beloved.
He's going to be a free agent in 3 months, whether you like it or not.
Sure.
And he's not coming back.
No, I don't think so.
Again, I'm not saying you must trade Ha-Sung Kim, but I'm saying you must listen if anyone's interested.
So, I mean,
you'd be negligent to just out of hand dismiss any
offer.
What
does that look like, though? Because you have to trade him to a contender.
Yeah.
Because team that's out of it's not going to take a guy that's a free agent in
but
3 months.
Every team except for six is a contender right now.
But is a contender going to give up a valuable piece that you would want in return?
Yeah, of course you see what you can get for him. You see what you can get for almost anybody. I mean, you listen on every player. You listen on Jackson Merrill. You don't trade Merrill. But
especially a guy
I don't have a specific name, but you know, a team comes to you. We'll give you our... You know, a top 10 prospect in our organization, and
who's doing that? Though,
a solid relief pitcher.
Who's doing that for a rental?
A number one, but I mean, like your eighth ranked prospect in your organization,
and a major league ready piece,
and a reliever.
Who's doing that? Who wants a rental?
Somebody that needs a shortstop.
Someone needs a shortstop badly.
But we need a shortstop.
That's what I'm saying.
Do we? We do.
If Xander Bogaerts is coming back, he does play shortstop. You can put him there.
You can. You just moved him off of it.
Yeah, well, you can move him back.
3 months ago. Oh, my Lord.
You think Xander's going to go ahead, I can't believe they're moving me back to shortstop. He would welcome it.
Of course. Everybody on that team would welcome a move back to shortstop.
I still question the move from the beginning.
Of course. Of course.
Just because you have one guy that's going to be here for 10 more years and one guy that was going to be here for 10 more months.
Right.
Don't not move him back because you just feel like there'd be egg on your face.
Why didn't...
That's not a reason not to do something.
Why didn't you just leave him there?
Fine, but forget about what you did in the past. What makes the most sense for the Padres right now? If Ha-Sung Kim was playing like last year, we wouldn't be discussing this. He'd be so valuable,
that we'd be
one of the MVP candidates in the league, and we go, you can't trade him because you're trying to get to the playoffs. He's just not that valuable this year. Maybe that turns around. Maybe it doesn't. But either way, he's gone in 2.5-3 months.
So, like, Roast Master and Chet says, trade him to Oakland. Well, Oakland doesn't need a rental shortstop.
No, I mean, the team that needs him the most is the one you don't want to trade him to.
But there's
Giants. There's an American League contender that probably needs a shortstop that you could maybe more palatably send him to.
I'm just telling. I don't. Trading a guy when he's at his lowest, when you know what he's capable of. You know he's capable of being better. And again, moving an injured Xander Bogaerts back to short and keeping Luis Arraez at first, I think it hurts you defensively.
Saves about $4 million that you can use toward a starting pitcher that you acquire at the deadline.
Bro, I'm telling you, though, like you guys do know he's beloved in the clubhouse. Beloved. Like, is that if you're trading a piece like that at the deadline, are you risking a bunch of BS?
There's risk with every move. There's always risk.
Listen to this guy, Trader Jack over here. All right. I mean, you should have traded him in the offseason. You didn't. Can't do anything about it now.
Well, let's check traffic. A couple more minutes here. There is an area that's getting more and more concerning by the day that the Padres may need to address here. Let's talk about that after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
I mean, look, you got him for the rest of the year, okay? And if he would take a utility role, he can spell Manny at third. He can spell Xander at short. He can spell Crony at second. He can play any of the
infield
positions.
Which is why I'm not just giving him a way to shed his salary.
Yeah, but you're also not getting a number three starter and a top 10 prospect for a down season rental.
I'm at least listening.
You can't.
You're at least listening.
You're not going to get it.
All right, so some good numbers here from Kevin Acey's newsletter. 4 weeks ago, May 28th, the Padres bullpen had a 3.46 ERA. It's really one of the better bullpens in baseball. Since then, 27 games in 28 days, and over a longer stretch, like 49 and 52? I don't know whether that's overuse, whether it's, some guys who just aren't that good coming back to earth, but since that day, the Padres relievers have a collective 5.52 ERA over the past 27 games. So, four really rough weeks, and it's even worse the last 2 weeks, 6.23 ERA over the past 12 games. Only Yuki Matsui has not allowed a run over that stretch in 4 2/3 innings. Johnny Brito, 6 1/3, 6 earned runs. Tom Cosgrove, 2 2/3, 5 earned runs. Enyel, 4 1/3, 3 earned runs. Estrada, 5 1/3, 7 earned runs. Kolek, 5 1/3, 1 earned run. Nice job, Steven. Adrian Morejon, 6 innings, 4 earned runs. Wandy, 5 innings, 2 earned runs. Suarez, 3 2/3 innings, 2 earned runs. Is the bullpen now the most urgent issue facing the San Diego Padres? It was starting pitching last week. Now is it the bullpen with starting pitching being 1B at this point?
The answer to your question is yes, all of the above. It's all of the above. Holy cow. It's when you put it like that.
Alarming numbers.
Yes, alarming.
But does just the extra days off and the rest
can it
help fix some of these problems without any moves?
Can it circle back? Absolutely. Absolutely. But there's definitely some question marks.
All right, we'll continue this discussion. Eno Saris is going to join us in our next hour. Smart baseball ahead. Don't go away. More Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.